Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jesse Duplantis.
And I'm Kathy Duplantis.
Thank you for tuning in today for our boardroom chat. And I think we got something good to say today.
Yeah.
You know, there's something that people seem to struggle with all their lives, and that's obedience. And I guess it starts out as a child. Nobody likes to obey too much, you know. And like babies, you know, when they were created, they weren't created to be ruled over. They were created to rule and reign. That's why they get mad at you when you tell them to do something, because they were created to rule, not be ruled over. But obedience is a very wonderful thing. In fact, it opens up the doors to everything God has for you spiritually, physically, and financially. I want to go to a passage of scripture that I love, and I believe everybody's heard about, and it's 1 Samuel chapter 15, where Saul has been told by Samuel to take care of all this situation, but Saul was actually a very good man. He was actually elected by God. God said he was good. He was a fighter. He was a blessing. He was very tall, so he looked like a king, but he had a problem with himself. And what I mean by that, he would prefer to listen to himself than to listen to God when he saw things he wanted it his way. And Samuel told him to do a few things. So let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 15. And I want to start reading with verse 12. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place and is going about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. Verse 13, Samuel came to Saul and said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? But I mean, now watch this. Samuel told him to do something, and it was a direct word from God Almighty, but he refused because he saw the sheep and all the different things. He thought, well, you know, I'll just keep this stuff. You know what I'm trying to say? And I want to go all the way down to verse 22. Well, let me go to verse 20. And Saul said unto Samuel, yes, I have obeyed the Lord, or obeyed the voice of the Lord. Now he's lying right there. Have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil. Notice he blamed the people. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. See?
So he knew.
Yes, he knew. They didn't want to do that. They wanted to keep it, sell it. And Samuel said in verse 22, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in the obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. It's better to obey than the sacrifice. How many times God's told you to obey something and you refuse to do it? Now, the church world has really taught us how to sacrifice. You got to suffer, mm-hmm. You know, but they hadn't taught us much about obedience. Now, what was wrong with Saul? What problem did he have? And I wrote a few points down, Kathy, and I want to say one of them.
I know this has been on your heart.
Yeah. And I want you to listen to this. Obedience requires self-denial. Mm. See, that was his problem. He couldn't deny himself, Saul, and discipline of ourselves. Obedience requires self-denial and discipline of ourselves. So in other words, you can't put yourself ahead of God when God tells you to do something. When God says, by his stripes you were healed, you say this, but I am sick. I'm not denying you sick. I'm denying its right to affect you. He said, by his stripes, you were healed. Yeah, but. No, there's no yeah, buts about this stuff. Either you believe this or you don't. I'm not telling you to deny it, because pain is pain. Sickness is sickness. But I deny it's right, because Jesus took our infirmity. He bore our sickness, and by his stripes, we were healed. So what Saul saw, he thought, well, you know, the people, I'll just say the people wanted it, this and that and all that
right.
kind of stuff. Which in those days, that kind of stuff was considered wealth. You know, they have sheep and oxen and
right.
all those kind of different things of that nature. But what did Samuel say? Utterly destroy everything. And he wouldn't do it. That's why Samuel said, it's better to obey and to sacrifice. And sometimes when we disobey, in that disobedience, we lose everything. And Saul lost everything right there on that day because God rent the kingdom from him through the prophet Samuel. What do you think about that?
I totally agree. It's a sad day. In fact, Samuel did not want to do that. God revealed it to him how Saul had gone away from God, how
right.
he was in disobedience, and he came there specifically to confront him. And at that moment, I was just thinking that Saul had every opportunity to come clean.
Yes, indeed.
But instead, he covered it up, which is worse.
Right.
And he actually admitted when he was talking, we just read the scripture, how he really knew what God wanted. But then he went and blamed the people. Then he blamed everybody else except himself. So when you don't take ownership of a mistake, even when you make a mistake, God is ready to forgive you. Think of the parallel with David. David did a horrible thing.
Oh, God, yeah.
But David repented when he was confronted by the prophet. Which prophet was that at that time? Nathan the prophet came to him and
he didn't say
explained
it. You gotta talk to my lawyer.
He had taken this little sheep, which was Bathsheba, basically, the husband, the wife of that man who had only one wife. David had all these.
A very honorable man.
Honorable man. And so when David was confronted by Nathan, the prophet, he repented and he asked Lord to forgive him. God called him a man after his own heart. So, but Saul, in that similar situation, actually of disobedience, refused to acknowledge that he had done wrong. So that's where the point of it is. God does not, he's always ready to forgive us. But when we're confronted with our failure or mistakes, our response should always be to run toward God, not cover it up, but be repentant. And God is always going to be faithful to forgive us.
Hallelujah, Lord.
He's a good God.
Oh,
you
yes,
know,
he
when
is.
You were saying all that, reminded me of a sermon that I just preached at the church actually on Sunday. And he's talking about how Jesus went to talk to these three different people. And two of them were called by God, Jesus, to follow him. And another one, you were preaching somewhere else, you didn't know, but he said that you weren't there. I don't think you've heard it, but let me just tell you right now, real quick.
I could tell you're going to tell me.
Just a little, but it reminded me of it.
Yeah, how, go ahead. Shut the
two of the people had a, yes, but first let me do this.
Yes.
Jesus said, follow him. He says, no, let me go first bury my father. The second one said, let me go say goodbye to my family.
I like the third
He says,
one.
You want to say goodbye to the family, but Jesus' response to...
What's the third one?
That was the third one.
No, no.
The first
one...
He
said, I found a wife.
I mean, there's a whole list of things with one of them. But the point was they had a... But let me first. But first let me.
Yeah.
But first let me. So they always have something they want to do instead of
now,
being obedient.
To you?
No, it doesn't.
I was just wondering. You know.
I know where you're going with that. We're going to stick to the scriptures today.
Okay, all right.
But God does require obedience.
Yes, he does.
Sacrifice. He's wanting you to obey his word. When Jesus called very few people, but he gave the example there how he had called those people, those men to follow him, and they said, but both of them had a response. But first, let me. God, we can't put ourselves above what God's plan is. What are you laughing about?
Do you remember, Lord, when that priest looked you in the face and said to you, when we were getting married, do you take this man to be your lawful wedded husband? To what? To what?
I don't remember that.
Obey.
Obey. But I don't think those are scriptural vows.
I just thought I'd throw that in there for the guys.
Submit,
you know?
Submit to one another.
Submit and obey. Go ahead, say it. Just obey. Praise God.
And you know, if you would have listened and submitted to me, we would be much farther along right now.
Like what? Where would we be?
We're not going to go there.
Let me tell you something. This is a great point I'm about ready to say. Obedience does not consist in isolated acts. People obey once in a while, and they're always bringing it up like Kathy. Well, you know, I did this and I did that. You know, I ain't talking about that and this. I'm talking about now. You see what I'm saying? And vice versa. I do the same thing, you know. But obedience does not consist in isolated acts.
I do the same thing.
Yeah, you'll do this. I'll say, well, why didn't you do it? Well, no, I did this, and I didn't ask all that. We're not talking about this, or we're not talking about that.
Not looking for excuses.
That's correct.
God's not looking for excuses either.
That's what I'm talking about. But the point is that you just think because you obeyed a few times, everything's fine. No, God expects you to be honorable all the time, not some of the time. Honor is a gift that a person gives to himself. See, when you learn to honor the word and when you learn to believe the word will work for you, not some of the time, but all the time. And that was the problem with Saul. He had a problem with self-denial and he had a problem with disciplining himself.
Right.
And when you have that, you open yourself up to all kinds of things. Look how cruelly treated David, trying to kill him. Jealousy got in there and envy and strife because the kingdom was rent from him because he just wouldn't listen. But you and then naturally people always point, well, I, you know, it's those people, they made me do it. No.
Right.
He wanted that, see?
Yeah, well, look at the next verse, verse 23.
Yeah.
After Saul had given him that prophecy in verse 22, he says, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft.
My God.
And stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. So God saw it so differently than Samuel. Saul thought it was a light thing, but it was a big thing in eyes. Obedience is important.
And too much is given, much is required.
Because the nation was following, would have followed his example, like, oh, we don't have to listen to God. We can do whatever we want.
Well,
he would expect everyone in his kingdom, all of his subjects there, all the other Israelites, to follow his word. But he thought he didn't have to follow God's word. Well, that's where he got in trouble.
That reminds me, you know, when you're a president, you're not a president when you feel like it. You're a president of the United States 24 hours a day.
Or any leader.
I remember when Bill Clinton, when he came up with that scandal with Monica Lewinsky, I think her name was, he said, well, that's my personal business. No, no, you are president 24 hours a day, and you must be a representative. And that's what Saul did not understand, see? Because he was in self-denial, and he wouldn't discipline himself. You see, there is no happiness like the happiness of obedience. When you obey something, you don't have to worry about what's coming tomorrow or what happened yesterday. See, because obedience always gives you a clear path to where God wants you to go. But it's not done just by isolated acts, once in a while, here and there. And, you know, as a minister of the gospel, too much is given, much is required. The Bible said, there's five offices, the executive branch of God's government, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher. Now, I want you to think about that. So to me, not that I'm better than you by no means, but many are called, few are chosen. Well, without sounding prideful, I've been chosen to preach this gospel. So if I mess up, my judgment's going to be greater, not because I'm better than you, it's because of the office that I hold. Do you understand that? See, that's why you see what's happening, especially right now, when preachers mess up. I want to make this announcement, and I can say it for Kathy, as well as me. There's no secret sin here. I'm not running around. She ain't running around. We're not stealing money. I'm not just saying that. I'm telling you, there's no secrets in here, because our office that God has given both of us to walk in is a very honorable thing. And we want to obey. Yeah, we say, yeah. A lot of people say, yeah, but I did this. Now you're going into the other thing. No. This is you as a minister of the gospel, yes, you can be forgiven, but you're going to pay that price. What you sow, you will reap. That's why you see so much judgment going on in the body of Christ today on ministers. See, because we're supposed to be examples. Now, I want you to listen to this point, and you'll understand what I'm talking about. Mankind will never fulfill his destiny unless he obeys. I will never get to my destiny or my destination unless I obey. Now, I'm going to just be honest with you. If you want a great marriage, I know men ain't going to like this, and neither is women. Obey. Obey who? Obey God, who said to obey each other.
Right.
Do you see, that's what I'm talking about. That doesn't mean you won't have squawks and arguments and, I don't know, maybe a shouting match every once in a while. I don't know how that works and stuff like that. But what happens is, my point is that to death do you part. And sometimes you get pretty close to that in angerness and nuts. And you shouldn't do that. You see what I'm saying? Because if you just sit and think for a minute, you know, and just obey it and say, yeah, but I did this for you, and you did that, and I did this for you, you did this for me, blah, blah, blah. Now you're dealing with some sacrifice when you should be dealing with obedience. Hmm. You know, when God called us to the ministry, I made a thing in me. This is not for everybody. I have been preaching now 49 years, and I don't charge churches when I come. I'm obedient to my vow to myself. Which means this: there's nothing wrong with paying somebody's expenses. But I don't charge expenses. And I don't judge somebody because they charge expenses. No, this is for Jesse. See, why? Because I never wanted to do a meeting on how much money somebody would pay me or give me, whatever you want to call it. And I've learned to live like that. And I've been very blessed in 49 years of preaching this glorious gospel. We've never had a financial deficit. Why? Because I obeyed the vow that I made to myself and to the Lord. You see what I'm saying? Now, how many times I sacrificed? I mean, there were some people stole our offering. This is the beginning of our ministry. And it still goes on. But I never once said a word. I remember one time a person gave me, they were supposed to feed me. I had no money. I had given all my money away to go preach. And this person said, I'm going to give you $10 to eat this week. Now, this is Sunday through Friday. And she said, if you go to a chicken place, I think it was Popeyes or something like that, and you buy a Coke or something like that, they'll give you a free biscuit. And I thought, okay. Now, did I sacrifice all that week? I certainly did. But what I did more than sacrifice, I obeyed the call to not, I didn't even want the $10. I'd rather fast. That wasn't an issue, but it shows the heart. It showed the heart of that person.
Yeah. Well, you didn't make a demand when you went. They invited you to come, and that was the policy of that church. A lot of churches have different policies of what they do. Some of them, when they invite someone, they say, we're gonna put you in a hotel. Some of them say, we have a Sunday school room, or we have evangelistic headquarters, and they'll have like a little apartment or a room that's in the church. And some of these little communities that
you
went to didn't even have a hotel maybe in the town, so they provided for when they would have traveling speakers that would come through.
Oh, and someone said, tell them about that preacher that put us in that Sunday school room. Remember that?
Well, that was early on, and I don't know if they expected us to come along, but he was preaching really kind of close by to where we lived. I wasn't always able to travel with you. In fact, I just told this recently at the church too. I told you about that, but I had forgotten all about it. But when I was talking about how a lot of people put demands on people when they go to preach, they have they're in the ministry for the wrong motive. They want to be treated in a certain way and put demands on people. Anyway, we never did that, but we went there to that place, and I think we went on a Saturday night. The pastor actually barbecued for us.
Yeah, it was really nice.
Really delicious meal, really sweet and nice, and we expected to have, because you had been to several churches that did have an evangelistic headquarters. There was a room, like a little apartment
room
or something, and that was a town that didn't have very many other options.
Right.
And so, but they escorted us to this Sunday school room, and they gave us pillows and blankets, and me, you, and Jody
slept
that night on the floor.
On the floor.
In that
Never
Sunday
said a
school
word.
Room.
Now, people said, you really sacrificed. No, what I did was obey.
Right.
I wouldn't let nothing deter me from my calling.
I think Jody was probably maybe 8 years old at the time, something like
sure.
that, because you had just started, maybe 7 or something. I asked her about it afterwards that Sunday, and she says, no, I don't really remember it. But, you know, we usually made things a game. We didn't complain to her. She didn't see it as a hardship, so she doesn't remember it as a bad memory. But that's what happens sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
So.
But see, and people said, well, you really sacrificed during the beginnings of your ministry. No, I just obeyed in the beginnings of my ministry. I never thought it was a sacrifice to serve God. That sounds like it's hard.
Yeah, well, we went out camping a lot in those days, if you remember. So we pretended we were camping out with Jody, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
So, but when we went out camping, you were working at this place called Patterson Truck Line, and you had met some friends, and you even went in a bowl. You went and joined a bowling league. You had like what you call a normal life
for years.
A couple of years, maybe 2 years.
Three.
Anyway, three. Okay. Well, anyway, it wasn't long. And so I remember they had these great, one of them had a really large camper they would pull behind a truck.
It was a prowler.
A camper.
Yeah,
That's
but it wasn't very large now compared to these campers people got.
I know,
it
but
was nice.
Another one had something else, was like a pop-up tent, the other friend. And we had the third level of which
we
was
had a Sears
we had
tent.
A tent that we bought at Sears Roebuck and Company, and we set up the tent
hot,
on the ground.
Sweat.
It was hot.
And
but we're just glad to be along.
That man is in heaven today. He was one of my. I met a good friend. His name was J.C. Carrier, Morgan City, Louisiana, and he's the one that had that prowler with air conditioning. My God! And Dave Anding is the one that had the.
They introduced us to camping, and we enjoyed it.
And I did, you know, and it was really wonderful. So they said, "Well, that must be a real sacrifice to stay in that tent." Well, it was hot, but no, I got to go. And it was wonderful.
It was fun.
And it was a blessing of the Lord.
So when we were in that Sunday school room, we had been tent camping and things like that with Jody. So I think that's probably how it all kind of happened. She didn't see it as a hardship.
No. Well, most kids don't.
But a lot of people will give up the ministry for that. Or they resent it.
Oh, yeah.
And they go into the wrong spirit. And I think we passed the test way back in those early days.
Well, so it's better to obey than to sacrifice.
All right.
I want to read this other point. I said a while ago, mankind will never fill his destiny unless he obeys. I said this a while ago. There is no happiness like the happiness of obedience. The reason why Jody never thought of that as bad is because we were happy to do whatever it took to preach this glorious gospel. Yeah, so we would be pleasing to God.
You know, Jesse, I was looking ahead at the next verse, at verse 24, just reveals why a lot of people disobey God. And some of them recognize it and some don't, but this may have been a lie, but this is what happened. Saul said in verse 24, and Saul said unto Samuel, this was after Samuel had just told him, God has rejected you from being king. Verse 24 says, and Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and I obeyed their voice. So a lot of people fear people. Now, I'm not convinced that this was really true what Saul was saying that day, but because, you know, he just did what he wanted to do. Maybe he thought that's what the people expected. But right, we know that fear of people will cause a lot of people to disobey God. What are they going to think? What are they going to think of me if I step out and do it? What are they going to think if I say I'm believing to have my home paid off?
Or preach something hard.
What are they going to say if I preach about prosperity, like a lot of people know it's true, but they're fearful of speaking and declaring what the Word said, or preaching divine healing, which a lot of people, some
get
denominations,
political with it, Kathy, or preach against abortion.
Preach against, which is murder. They call it abortion, but it's murder. That's a term they've used to soften it.
Yeah.
Or preach that it's okay for a woman to preach. I mean, there's a lot of sacred cows we can kick over today.
That's right.
But we have to preach what God's Word has says. You know, if there was no woman in the Scripture that ever was put in a position of authority or called by God or called a prophetess, if that never existed in the Old Testament or the New, I could see you preaching that craziness, but it's clearly in the Word of God. So you've adopted some kind of man-made philosophy, maybe to feed your own ego or fear what someone else may say if you agree with the Word of God. But we have to agree with the Word of God, not what man says.
Well, that's a big sacred cow about women preaching. But Kathy knows how to barbecue sacred cows. She just cuts them up.
Well, you know, God's Word has to be final authority. There's a lot of things in the Word of God we don't like to hear.
Oh,
bless
no.
those that curse you.
I don't like it.
Forgive people that have attacked
I'm
you.
I'm still mad at some
you.
People that are dead.
You got to get over that.
I got to get over it. They're dead. I cannot, when I think about it,
yeah, but you know, it's one thing to forgive them, but you got to still deal with that anger about it. Maybe you haven't got there yet, but you're going in the right direction.
Thank you. What about you?
Me?
Me? Moi?
Moi?
So when you listen to this point, I like this. There can be no obedience without faith. Hmm. And faith without obedience is dead.
Right.
See, it takes faith to live for God on a daily basis, not just a Sunday basis. Now, I know you're going to agree with this statement that I'm going to say right now. Can't you sleep better on Sunday morning than any other morning?
No.
Yes, you can.
Uh-uh.
Not you, because you got to preach. You're up and down. Kids sleep longer on Sunday than they do on Saturday. They get up, man, want to watch cartoons. I don't know if they still do that today, or get on their iPad and things of that nature. But Sunday is a rest. You just want. Isn't a Sunday afternoon nap one of the best naps you can ever take if you're a nap taker? You know, but that's the Lord's day. Well, you know, I'm going to watch them online. And thank God for online. But the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves. Don't turn this thing off. Don't you turn this off. I'm talking about obedience here. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling. You need to get yourself up and get to church. Yes, it's great that you can watch it online. And sometimes things like that do happen. But my God, man, the corporate anointing is so much stronger than the singular anointing. Singular anointing means you may be at home, but when you're in that church and everybody's believing, that corporate anointing is ministering greatly to you.
Well, a lot of that is about obedience as well, because God does say, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. If you're obedient to the Word of God, you're going to assemble. You know, there's something about a lot of things that you build. When you buy packages of stuff, it says some assembly required. Well, it's God requires us because He knows what we need. He knows that we draw strength from one another. So it's important to come together. And, you know, church is not just about you. It's about everyone else that right. God's pulling in there. And when the whole body comes together, there are going to be people that come in maybe that don't know God or need help that day, and God will use you to be a strength and encouragement, if you're, can I finish talking?
No, you've been interrupting me.
If we would take a calculation.
Has she been interrupting me here? Did y'all know I've been trying to talk here?
if we would sit down and look at all the number of words said, you clearly would be way ahead.
Listen to
it. I got to finish my thought.
Finish your thought, go ahead.
I think you just stopped it.
No, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Isn't it when you invite someone to eat dinner and they don't come and they don't call, would you consider that rude? I think you would. I would think probably 100% of people would say that's rude. Do you know when a pastor spends Saturday or maybe all week or Saturday night when you out enjoying yourself, and there's nothing wrong with that, developing a sermon, which is a meal. A meal. Don't get mad at me. Don't touch the knob. Don't. What? And you don't show up on Sunday and you could have. That's rude. You want to say something?
I'm letting you finish.
Oh, you're going to let me take the hit. See, that's rude. Because someone prepared something for you and you had a chance to receive it. Now, not all the time. We understand things come up and you can't make it. I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. I'm talking about when and you ain't got to do nothing. You just don't feel like going. That's really rude. It would be nice to say, I'm sorry. I took the invitation if somebody invited you to dinner, but we can't make it. Something came up. That I totally understand 100%. But when nothing's come up, nothing, it's not right to do those things. See, that is not obeying, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves.
And then God...
See, you have to obey that
so
you can grow.
He wants to be first in our lives, and we're putting ourselves and everything else. Oh, if nothing's going on, I'm going to go to church. No, God should be first. And following his plan, he says, the disciples, actually the new believers in the early church, it was their custom to meet on Sunday.
What about Jesus?
Come to celebrate.
His custom was he went to the synagogue. Right. On the Sabbath day.
I remember there was a time when I had prepared a beautiful meal, a big meal I had cooked, planned a meal, went to the grocery shop and cooked everything. And
I'm thirsty. Go ahead.
You're distracting the people from listening to me.
I know they're listening. Go ahead, listen.
But I remember, see.
Go ahead.
You really want to listen?
Oh, yeah, I'm listening.
Well, you remember the time I had actually cooked, and I did a lot of cooking in my days. I don't cook a lot right now. Every now and then I'll clean the cobwebs out the pot, and I'll make
a good cook.
But I remember cooking this big meal, having everything, put my nice china out. Everything was on the dining room table, and waiting for them to come, and they were here 30 minutes late. So I took things. We didn't get a phone call or nothing, so I put things back in the oven, kind of refreshed everything, just sitting there waiting. Finally, they show up an hour late. You know, and I don't even know if they said they're sorry.
They went shopping.
They went shopping because there was a sale on at some place. And so they just act like it was no big deal. That's the last time I invited them. That's true. I didn't cook for them because they didn't appreciate it. They didn't value it. It was actually very rude. And I think I look back and these people were rude.
It's the same way
a lot of times were rude to us. We ignored it and, put up with it.
No, we don't get mad at people, but I mean, my God, man. When the minister of the gospel.
I got to tell you, I was pretty mad.
Yeah. When the minister of the gospel is preparing, why do you eat food so you can grow? Because if you don't eat food, you'll die. See? So on a Sunday morning, that minister is preparing a meal so you can grow. I'm not just saying that because I'm a preacher. I'm saying that because it says, forsake not the assembling of yourself. Let me say it again. Don't go over balance with this. Things do come up and we understand you can't make it. We understand all that. We're not talking about
bondage. We're talking about
wanting to
God
be a blessing to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
With your attendance, which you're giving. With your
serving
attitude.
and serving as well. There are a lot of people that if they serve the church and are so faithful, and there's so many of you that are like that, I know, and that God's going to reward you in heaven for that.
We got some great people that come to church, and I mean they just there, buddy, and it's just such a blessing of the Lord. But obedience should not be isolated acts. I want to go back to that statement.
That's good.
Once in a while, and then you repent. But see, when judgment comes, judgment is hard to change. And that's just simply the truth. So I want to talk to you that, about that today to make people understand what we're talking about. Because there's no happiness without obedience. And that's just simply the truth. And it takes faith to obey in every which way, spiritually, physically, and financially. And I'll use it in our clothes, like giving. I mean, when God tells you to give something, you shouldn't say, yeah, but wait, I got some things coming up that I'm going to have to take out. Well, he already knew that because he said he'd supply your need according to his riches and glory. You think God would tell you not to pay your bills? No, he would not do that. So he knows what you need, but he's trying to get a harvest to you at the time you need it the most.
That's good.
And let me just talk about that real quick. If you're not a partner, pray about becoming a partner to this ministry. I know a lot of ministries receive partners, and that's good. This ministry here, every dollar you send goes into world evangelism. We debt-free, been debt-free since 1982. We believe in you, and we believe in God. And I thank you for your faithful financial support. None of it comes to me. I mean, it goes into preaching this gospel. If you'd like to be a partner, you go to jdm.org. That's our website. And you can give that way. Hit the donate button. You can use PayPal if you want. Yes. You can text to give a one-time donation or a recurring one if you want, or you can use our free JDM apps and select the giving you'd like to do. Mm-hmm. Or you can mail in a check, whichever one you want to do. Now, don't just sit there and go, No. Is God telling you to obey?
Yeah.
Yeah, because we've asked the Lord for every dollar given to our ministry to give us a soul into the kingdom.
Right.
And we do that.
Amen.
In fact, as soon as I finish this boardroom chat, I got to fly out. There's always something going on to be a blessing to someone. That's what it's all about. So think about that. That's why I wanted to talk about it's better to obey than to sacrifice. And we only got a minute or two. Can you read a couple of
those? I would love to read these. It's so good.
Testimonies.
Because I love it when people comment.
We're going to change the name testimonies. I heard this the other day at a preacher. It's called Glory Stories.
It's kind of a lot like my glorious moments.
Yeah, glory story. They said, you know, when people give testimony, and the pastor was reading it from the book, and she said, I want to talk about some glory stories. That's a great statement.
For many years, I've been calling all those testimonies that I read glorious moments.
Yeah, well, I knew about that, but I'm talking about it in the church. Glory story. Well, go ahead and read it. Yeah, go ahead. I got it. Glorious.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Mala says, watching from Maui, Hawaii. Martin says, praise the Lord, tuning in from Kenya. Donna says, so happy you came to Alaska. It was powerful.
I loved Alaska.
That was a long trip for one service. But
I flew all the way over there.
You were obedient to do what God called you to do.
Well, I'm going to say it. Normally, I never tell anybody that. I spent $45,000 to go there to preach the glorious gospel. I don't know what the offering is. I did it because people needed to be touched by God. And thank God I had the money to do it. And boy, I tell you what, I enjoyed myself.
Praise God.
People were touched.
Amen. And then David says, this was a comment on last week's chat, I think it says, thank you so much for this lesson today. Brother Jesse, you talking about your grandfather reminded me so much of my dad. It brought me to tears. He was raised in West Texas during the Depression by two very hard parents. It took me decades to begin to understand him. I never heard I love you from my dad until I was into my 40s. Thankfully, we had another 10 to 15 years together before his death. I have enjoyed your teaching all the way back to the cassette era and recently reconnected via YouTube. Y'all are most certainly a blessing. Thank you.
I have never revealed till just a while ago just about expenses. I didn't charge. God told me to go, and I went.
Yeah.
And it was just such a blessing of the Lord. And normally I wouldn't tell you that. But Lord said, tell them. People, it wasn't a sacrifice. It was an obedience to what God said.
That's so true.
And one soul's worth more than the whole world.
And I remember you told me that story. I know we were trying to close, but you told me that story about the 9-year-old boy?
Well, that was at Andrew Womack's.
Oh, that's right. Andrew Womack's.
Well, should I tell them that?
There are a lot of children, too, that were in that service you told me in Alaska.
Oh, yeah. It was just such a blessing of the Lord. That's what your faithful financial support does. To reach people and change lives.
All right.
One soul at a time.
I've just got two more. I want to finish this one. Sharon says, thank you. This boardroom chat teaching was sweet and just what was needed. Thank you for all you do. Your teaching and the faith of your ministry helped me to get over illness more than once. The Lord healed me through listening to Jesse and Kathy. Praise the Lord.
My God.
Isn't that wonderful what God's doing through all the different platforms and different things that we do? The last one says, from Suzanne, says, love you both for your transparency. This is a great boardroom chat. We were transparent again today. We hope that you've enjoyed it and you've been blessed and encouraged. This is our desire of our heart, is to be a blessing to you. We come here and chat in these little segments, and we feel like you're a part of the chat, and you're just like on the other side of this table. So we believe that God is touching your life and encouraging and strengthening you today to go to that next level. And that begins by being obedient to what God is calling you to do.
And that's what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen. And I mean in every area, spiritually, physically, and financially. I hope you learned something today.
Yes.
And always be careful to obey in everything that you do.
Yes.
To the glory of God. You know what? God has never been disobedient to you.
That's good.
Think about that. His word is true. Till next time, Jesse and Kathy saying, we love you. See you soon. God bless you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.